It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And what do you know, we are off and running with another live broadcast on this 10th day of January, 2018. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com, and headon.live are where we live. And you can go to either place and pick up the stream. If you go to headonradionetwork.com, you can grab the stream from whiterosesociety.org, or you can go to headon.live and pick up the stream. The separate stream that runs there. I've been informed that TuneIn is deader than Trump's brain, so that may mean that the White Rose Society stream is compromised or down or whatever. So headon.live it is. Of course, the folks over at FYI.com also use FYINation.com. Also use the headon.live stream, so there's that. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We've made it to midweek, and by golly, we've got thanks to send out. Yes, the evening's subscriber thanks include thanks to Don. Thank you, Don, with us for a very long time. Long-time subscriber, Don, thank you. Thanks also to Judy in New York. Thank you, Judy. And thanks very, very kindly indeed to J. Joshua in Michigan. Thank you very kindly. Much appreciated. And Steve in New York became a brand new Patreon subscriber this evening, so that's cool too. If you'd like to be a subscriber, like the folks I just mentioned, when you go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the Contribute tab, you'll find there's a little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Contribution, donation, whatever. Click that, put in the number, and set it and forget it. It's very, very easy. And it makes supporting The Horn really simple. You know, at a $10 a month subscription, you're laying out all of not quite 16 cents per hour in terms of helping to keep the lights on. So it's as big a, it is as much of a bargain as there is anywhere in media today. Over at patreon.com, if you want to jump in there, we're 10 days into the month of January. If you want to become a Patreon subscriber, talk about set it and forget it. Well, you won't even be billed until the first day of February. So there's that, and that's awfully cool. And ultimately, one of these days, hopefully we'll get to the point where we've got, you know, like the equivalent of $410 a month subscribers. And that will be tremendous, because then there will be no more fundraising pitches during the program, and it'll just be pure programming all the way through the whole time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Thanks very kindly also to our buddy Paul, a supporter of long standing. This month's donation rolling in from Bisbee. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very kindly. And thanks as well to Janice, who jumped in earlier this afternoon. All of that means that I had to do some late afternoon ciphering. And the way it was looking, we would have had a $500 fundraising goal this evening. But that, and as well as a kind contribution from our buddy Tom out in the Bay Area, means that, let's see, yeah, all told, the fundraising goal for this evening is $395. $395. Well, and here's the cool part about that. I had a note from Chris in Germany earlier today, who heard the program and knows that we seem to have some problems with fundraising, at least this thus far into the beginning of 2018. And Chris wanted to put a challenge on the table for prayer meeting. $200. So if we can get $200 in contributions, Chris will in turn double all of that. In other words, you kick in 10, Chris will turn it into 20. You kick in 100, Chris will turn it into 200. You kick in 200, Chris will turn it into 4, but that can only happen once. Up to $200. And that'll get us finished up with fundraising through the middle of the week, which would be huge. Tremendous. These doubling opportunities come along once in a while, and I guess what that $10 actually turns into 20, and that means I'm not sure entirely what. I think it involves nuclear physics. But that is indeed a very big deal. And so, consequently, hopefully it will not be left lying on the table. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, you know the deal. I'm sorry, Silent R. Lamar. Darn, Bob, only $200? Well, I'm mighty happy to have the challenge. So that's where we stand. $200 challenge is on the table, and that would make things make it possible to not spend the rest of the evening fundraising. Meanwhile, I want to share the note with you that I got from Tom out in the Bay Area, because it's relevant to something we were talking about last week. You may recall I mentioned the story that Beth in Dallas hipped me to about the designer water for sale at the Rainbow Grocery in San Francisco and Eden in San Diego and some other places where people are apparently credulous. Designer raw water. Yes, it's raw water. It's never been... Right. And I suggested that we can move... we could probably move some water from out of West Virginia and offer it in designer colors. Yeah. Beth in Dallas is talking about the fizzy quality of the water down there. Fizzy. We're not talking about Perrier, folks. So I got a note from Tom who said, listening to Friday's program, I've been to Rainbow Grocery several times. Dragged there by my wife. Hopefully Mrs. Tom is not listening right now. Fortunately, it's too far away and a pain in the ass, PETA, to get to. Didn't see the rainwater, though. I don't think you can work there if you don't have piercings and tattoos. Ugh. Now, that's not Tom being cranky or anything. It's just a fact of life. And then Tom notes, 60 clams, not that kind, going in the mail tonight. Yes, no sex clams in the mail, please, please. So there we are, and just by way of, you know, you could get to the PayPal interface either at headonradionetwork.com under the Contribute tab or at headon.live. Either way is fine. There's also a link to Patreon at headon.live as well. So, you know, we try to thank everybody who jumps in to keep, thank them on air. I don't know how many other programs do that, but this one does. because we don't have any Swedish mattresses filled with foam that was developed by NASA to hustle or any of that stuff. No bowling balls, vacuum cleaners, Bose wave radios, steel buildings, wooden floors from denuded Pacific island nations. None of that. Sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. I'm glad we don't have those kind of things. So, you know, we thank the sponsors of the program because you all are the sponsors of the program. You make the program possible, and consequently, you're the ones who get the thanking. Yeah, Marty and Randy pointing out the White Rose streams are down. God only knows why, but they are. And there's just not a hell of a lot I can do about it, but by God, HeadOn.live is, as usual, up and running and bulletproof. No, there really isn't, to the best of my knowledge, Silent Arlemar, unless you want to be it. Is there a West Coast Save Bob movement? Well, I was done saved back in the Baptist church. At least that's what they told me when they was getting ready to half-drown me. Mm-hmm. Well, we are off and running. Thank you very kindly to Darlene in Connecticut, who responded to Chris in Germany's challenge. It's half gone now, so anybody else that wants to double their money, there's $100 worth of doubling left, and that's a very big deal indeed. So hopefully we'll keep that on the move. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you so very much for being there for so very long and being part of this little community, congregation, family gathering thing that we have going on. I didn't either. Randy and PA saying, I didn't know that you were spent. Save Bob, get it, spent. Right, yeah. Little teeny tiny cowbell for Randy. There we go, yes. Meanwhile, Scott and Punky with a note. For what it's worth, I just posted the Horn Listen Live link and some info about the show on the GUIA Libtards Facebook group page. GUI equals Growing Up in Alexandria, Virginia. Okay. They're a fine bunch of folks, one of whom now lives in Australia but is currently visiting the D.C. area. Well, if you're listening, hi, Molly. Thanks for doing that, Scott. I really appreciate it. That's very nice of you. That's true, Bill. The opening theme is a collage. Bill says, I don't know if anyone else noticed, but you don't have one theme song. You have two. First was Dancing in the Streets by the Rolling Stones. The second, of course, is Big Country. Anybody else noticed it? I don't know. Nobody's ever really commented on it. It's a collage that was put together many, many years ago by John Fox down in Australia. You want a cowbell, Silent Arlemar? Well, by God, I'm in the cowbell business this evening. There's a cowbell for Silent Arlemar. Steve in New York, WRD, White Rose down. Jack in Shreveport, yep, head on dot live up, White Rose down. Ron in Raleigh, subject line, I told you, after hearing Tom in the Bay Area's remarks, Ron says, piercings? Tats? I told you that's where tree beard and celery worked. Damn straight. Dude, that's vocal fry and upspeak at the same time. Not many people can do that. I better stop being mean. But, you know, I'm in a good mood. I'm in a very good mood this evening. It warmed up. Maybe, I used to argue many years ago, and many years ago she would give me a dirty look. Now we just smile at each other. After all, we will have been married 25 years this spring. Agnes used to give me a dirty look when she would have the heat in the house blasting away at 95 degrees, and you know I'd be down to like you know, a thong Speedo. Don't even let that image into your mind. It will burn. There's not enough brain bleach out there. Don't let that image into your mind. But I'd tell her, you know, in the dead, honey, I think you're part reptile. You know, you slow down when the temperatures get cold. Well, it may have rubbed off on me, too. Over time, you would kind of expect that sort of thing. Because I get a little cranky and motionless, you know, when it gets down into single digits and stuff. But today, oh, my God. Oh, dear heavens, climate change. Yeah. We crawled up into the high 50s, almost 60 degrees today. And darned if here in the studio, even as we speak, it's a toasty 72.3 degrees. It's amazing. And I got to tell you that it is, it's wonderful. And I've just been chipper all day. But the other part of me being chipper has to do with the fact that earlier today, because I test all these products, earlier today, the hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, came rolling over here, and they had a bottle with them. And I said, what the hell's that? And they said, well, it's today's supplement, Bob. Try it. Chaffless Chufa. That's right, Chaffless Chufa from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. It'll put a spring in your step, just like it did for me today. Chaffless Chufa. Chufa, otherwise known as the ground almond, Chaffless Chufa is here to pick your spirits up, give you an energy boost, and a rush of ground almond goodness in each and every capsule. Chaffless Chufa from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. Well, doggone it, if you pony up for a 3-month supply of our peripatetic proprietary preparation, well, daggum, you'll see what it is I'm talking about. And for that 3-month supply at only $89.17, see, we had some complaints about pricing, and we responded. This is a full-service radio network with full-service bullshit nutritional supplements. Well, you pony up for that 3-month supply, and daggummit, if we won't send it to you with a little bundle of test strips so you can know at home what we already know here, that Chaffless Chufa from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, has absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. None. None at all. Because it's just another bullshit nutritional supplement from a radio program. Because you can't be a real, live, honest-to-goodness professional radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. The only difference being that here at the Horn, we'll tell you that it's a bullshit nutritional supplement, whereas, you know, the Alex Joneses of the world will pretend that they're actually doing something for you besides putting your money in their pockets. Chaffless Chufa from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. You know, I've never cared much for Chufa, but thanks to Chaffless Chufa, I can get all the Chufa I could possibly need in a Chaffless variety in my diet every day. Post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, FOBCODCHAFFLESSCHUFARUBE. Chaffless Chufa from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. You're more than welcome. Silent R. Lamar says, yes, I need more bullshit in my life. Thanks, Bob. Well, doggone it. Well, of course we need one of those. Glenn asks, doesn't the Horn need an official old hippie guitar playing geologist? We aren't all that rare. Well, I would think you are, but yeah, we're thrilled to death to have an old hippie guitar playing geologist. That's better than a guitar playing cowboy. by a long shot. You better believe it. A labor man, of course, asking because at Horn Nutraceuticals we pay him the princely salary of zip to ask. But Bob, will Chaffless Chufa put a spring in my boner? I don't know that you would want one there, but since it's entirely imaginary, you betcha it will, labor man, because doggone it, it's just that good. Note coming from Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. Too late, Bob. We can't unsee or unhear that. Sorry. Sorry. There should have been a hockey puck. You know, no, that's not a hockey puck warning. That's a blindfold. That's a mental blindfold warning. Exactly. And thank you to Libby. Thank you, Libby, for jumping in. There's only $75 left in Chris's Prayer Meeting Wednesday challenge now. Thank you very, very much indeed. So, one other thing, stuff. I didn't want to, I can't let this blow past because I enjoy this way too much. That's right, it's time for This Day in Horn History. Yes, 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 yes. For today's look into the back catalog of the Horn, we're dialing the clock all the way back 6 years to January the 10th, 2012. It's Primary Tuesday in New Hampshire, and Bob opens the show by observing it's a wonder that we let the first state ever to threaten secession get to set the tone of the primaries. Since there's only Republican presidential primaries taking place in 2012, Bob makes it clear that he has no interest in, quote, any of the freaks duking it out in New Hampshire, and that, quote, I wouldn't waste my piss on any of the Republican candidates, even if they were on fire. Both opinions that remain valid and closely held to this day. The rest of the filibobster revolves around recent revelations out of Fallujah and how there's been a wave of malformed babies born as high as 14% after the white phosphorus-laden U.S. incursion into Fallujah in recent years. Bob goes on to deliver a heart-wrenching monologue and reports that the rates of malformed babies being born in the Central Appalachian Mountaintop Removal Sacrifice Zone, the numbers aren't that far from those of Fallujah's. The bumper for today is Run Straight Down by Warren Zevon. The lyrics of the song really resonate considering the present topics. Hour two begins a little more upbeat with Tracy calling in. Tracy says it's unusually warm for this time of year in California and that she'd like to pack a bikini in her car, but she won't. She also says they make Speedos in Chris Christie's size, at which point you can hear Bob cringing behind the microphone while he reaches for the battery acid eyewash flask. See, there's a reason that I say the things I say. Bob then announces to the world that he's reading a three-volume book series by Eric Garcia titled Anonymous Rex, Casual Rex, and Hot and Sweaty Rex. I remember those books, and they were really fun. The premise being that the dinosaurs never went extinct, that they live among us wearing human clothes, and they hate our guts. Editorial, it might seem shallow, but what Bob is doing here is laying out the entire premise of the ginned-up, rubed-up, frauded-up, faked-up Alex Jones shtick for him. Again, I would argue the Horn is slightly ahead of its time here. Sure, Alex Jones was on the air before January 2012, but he hadn't quite perfected his lizard people live among us shtick. In further discussing with a caller the staggering rate of malformed newborns in Fallujah, Bob observes, you know, it's surprising with everything we've done to them over in Fallujah that there's not a line around the block at the exploding belt store. Again, I still hold to that opinion. Before the end of the program, the winner of the New Hampshire primary is announced to be Mitt Romney. He's been running around the campaign trail singing America the Beautiful. I wonder if that asshole knows he's quoting lyrics written by a lesbian, Catherine Bates, Bob observes. And that's a look at January 10th, 2012 for This Day in Horn History. You betcha. I love this day in Horn History. Let me know if you enjoy it, too. There's a lot of work that goes into that, and I'd appreciate knowing. A note coming in from midweek pinch hit utility in chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan, who isn't in the chat room this evening. There's a reason for it. He wants everybody to know. Steve says, I missed last night's program, for I'm on two antibiotics, and my stomach finally said, all right, turn on the cramp machine. Ow, that hurts just reading it, Steve. Tonight I'm listening, but I have to keep my leg elevated, for the cellulitis has it at twice its normal size. That's no good. Please stay on top of that. I'd appreciate it if you would, Steve. I bet Miss Karen would, and little Cletus and little Twiggy, too, and the entire Horn Family Community Congregation. Steve says, I have you in the living room on the recliner, listening on the Xbox. Little Cletus has dug her bed in front of the speaker. It doesn't have Java, so I cannot mod or join the chat room tonight. I'm sorry. No apologies necessary. And hey, we won't even dock your pay, Steve. Meanwhile, Steve points out, Ace's stream is solid. Tell the Horn family I said hi. Break a leg. Hey, y'all, Steve from Georgistan says hi. Okay? Thank you, Steve. Thank you for letting me know. And thanks very kindly to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy for jumping in and taking Chris's challenge down to only $50 to go. Thank you very kindly. So that's, $50 to go to meet Chris's challenge. Thank you very, very much indeed. So it is, however, it's 27 minutes past the hour. Thank you, Silent R. Lamar. I will. Silent R. Lamar just messaged me from the chat room to say, tell Steve, get well soon. We really want you to get well soon. And pay close attention to that case of cellulitis. Don't fool with that. Do what the doctor tells you, and you'll be back in short order. And we'll keep the chat room light on for you, Steve. Okay, so don't think for a minute that I don't realize what day this is. Oh no! It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, absolutely. And consequently, it was going to be. There was the possibility it was going to be a little bit scary as we passed the plate this evening. You know, we did have that one evening where I had Brother Deacon Gerald lock all the, you know, he's the deacon in charge of the building and grounds. I had him lock all the doors and offer up all the tea and coffee and water anybody wanted, and that turned out to be a real disaster, and we had to bring Serve Pro in and that van with the giant vacuum cleaner, and it was terrible. It was just awful. So I'll never do that again. It's not nearly as bad as what it would have been. By the way, Marty says, please tell Steve that after rupturing my Achilles tendon 6 years ago, I have no intention of breaking my leg. Tell what? Silent R. Lamar says, tell Chris to pay up and gives me a laughing face. What did I miss? Well, I tell you what, they're some tenacious little bastards. We get one warm day, and suddenly I've got a broadcast companion this evening. Yes, there's a stink bug in here. The Central Appalachia is pretty well infested with the little bastards, but apparently even, you know, getting the studio down to 23 degrees for hours on end, I guess he or she just took a nap. Hi, little guy. I'm not going to mess with you, so please don't stink. Okay, thank you. Yes, but it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and we have lots to deal with. And it was a right tasty one, I must admit. I had no idea that the little old blue haired ladies had tucked away some of the leftover corned beef and stuck it in the freezer, but they did, and there was quite a bit of it. And they made homemade corned beef hash. For prayer meeting Wednesday dinner. It was kind of one of those breakfast for dinner kind of things. And, man, they laid it out on the griddle, and they fried it to that beautiful lace edge. And they put, and you had your choice. You could have them scrambled or poached or over easy or sunny side up. But they put eggs over the top, and there was good sourdough toast. Oh, it was mighty tasty indeed. And then dessert-wise, well, you know, there was some salad. So, you know, you got to do some dinner-y kind of stuff, too. But there was rolls and salad. And you know, there's really never much to clean up after prayer meeting Wednesday because there aren't any leftovers. Goodness, oh, mercy sakes, it was good. And then, you know, dessert-wise, they decided to take a different tack, brethren and sistren, and they baked. They didn't know it was going to be 60 degrees today, but they baked homemade chocolate chip cookies and had some of that good vanilla bean ice cream there to scoop on top of the warm cookies. And, well, the deacons embarrassed themselves. They took to making warm chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwiches, and the noises were just terrible. And then shortly thereafter, they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs. And, well, 60-degree weather. Last I checked, I think they were down to chain-smoking cigarette number four before Sister Carol Baker could get to the vestibule door with the horn solar-powered cattle prod just a-crackling in that unnaturally warm January air. Oh, yeah, just crackling. And they heard it, and they put wings to heel, and they blew past her, through the vestibule, past that bowl of desiccating butter mints, and they're standing right here down front, right now, brethren and sistren, waiting to pass the plate. It's got a little PayPal button in the bottom. Just push it, put in the number you want. Maybe hit that make this a recurring monthly donation thing and become a subscriber, because we need lots of those, lots more of those. It'd be like a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle or something. Anyway, they're waiting, and we're going to start the offertory hymn, brethren and sistren, and then we will we'll get into the meat of the service. We will. Just remember to keep one eye a little bit open, so that you won't get hit by your neighbor with the heavy brass collection plate with the red velvet interior and the PayPal button. Just don't get hit, and then just take it and pass it on. Press the button, pass it on. You know, take it, press it, pass it. Take it, press it, pass it. That's right. And then, we'll go ahead and call the minister of music forward so that we can have our offertory hymn. Brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord. Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah. Benny and Moolah saw the gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hut, sut, riller, all on the Ralston and a brawler, brawler, suet, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, and welcome one and all to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Brethren and sister, and glory, I am calling upon you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and squinch and scrunch and wiggle and waddle and wobble and walk without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. Glory, and come on out and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands, amen, upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Perplexed Presbyter, Madcap Maharaja, Mysterious Mullah, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Amen and amen. Brethren and sistren, we have a lot to talk about this evening from the world of mountain-moving faith. We do. We do. They're beginning to get a little worried over there in the white wing religion industry. They are. They're getting right worried indeed. What are they worrying about? They're worrying about God's and God's annoyed Donald J. Trump are getting all impeached. And they've begun to took an action. Yes, they have. Yeah, glory. That's why Dr. James Dobson, he's one of those doctors that couldn't put a Band-Aid on without killing somebody, proud son of the University of Southern California, Dr. James Dobson, a man who once said you can keep your little boys from getting the gay daddies by getting in the shower with them when they're about, oh, knee-high to a grasshopper and waving your Johnson at them. That's right, that's right. Daddies should get in the shower with their naked with their naked little sons and show them their penises. Absolutely. He also said that when children misbehave, they should be beaten until they cry real tears. Truly, James Dobson is a man of God. And so He spoke to the faithful, and he told them what they needed to be going about doing.
I joined more than 25 ministers who were invited to the White House for a gathering with President Trump, and all of us serve on an advisory committee to address the spiritual needs of the chief executive. We met with Mr. Trump on that occasion in the Oval Office. He was sitting at his desk, and we were surrounding him. We were gathered around. We talked to him for about 30 minutes, and then we laid hands on him and all prayed for him. I don't know what others were thinking about that day, but I can tell you what was going through my mind. That I felt sorry for this man. I know he's a tough executive who doesn't seem particularly vulnerable, but I thought in those moments about the burdens that ride heavily on his shoulders. Not only is he the leader of the free world, of course, but so many people obviously hate him. You're aware of that. If you read the papers at all, you know that he has many, many opponents. He faces the combined opposition from the mainstream media, from members of Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, not all of them, but many of them, the entertainment industry, the other special interest groups who seem determined to bring him down. I know Mr. Trump makes mistakes and brings some of this opposition on himself, but I think this country will be in serious trouble if they're successful in impeaching this man, and that's why I'm calling for a nationwide movement to pray for him. I'm calling for a day of fasting and prayer. I hope that Christian people from coast to coast will join in that time. The date is your choosing, but we do need to be praying for our president. The Lord played a role in the election of Donald Trump. What his purposes were and what his intent was, we can only guess. But I believe he was raised up for such a time as this, and it seemed evident to us on election night that the Lord gave us victory. So, Lord, if that's true, then we ask you to protect our president, this gentleman, from anything that could hurt him. We also remember what was at stake in that election, and it's still at stake today. Dependent on that was the makeup of the Supreme Court, the United States, the sanctity of marriage, the preservation of religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, and so many other pro-life, pro-family, pro-moral issues that we have prayed for.
So here's the deal. White wing religion industry, good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians are supposed to fast and pray for Donald J. Trump, but they can pick the day when they do their fasting and praying, and it's strictly self reporting. So since they're, you know, hypocrites, they're free to maybe send a note to Dr. Dobson and say, "Oh, Dr. Dobson, I was a fasting and a praying for all I was worth." All the while they're typing with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in front of them. Yeah. Whatever. But the other reason I played that clip was that that part toward the end there where he said the Lord played the role in the election of Donald Trump. He was raised up for such a time as this to protect the Supreme Court. Isn't that kind of neat how those freaks on the other side understand big ticket issues? How they went about the last election. Jesus Christ, these are people who ran to the polls to vote for a guy who'd been divorced three times and was at least, by definition, a four-time adulterer who admitted to committing sexual abuse and sexual assault, who was the direct antithesis of everything they professed to believe, and now they're praying for him to keep him from getting impeached. Isn't it amazing that they were able to do, they were able to go and vote for him, even though he was about as far from being ideologically pure within their scheme of things as one politician could be and still have an R after their name? R. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it stunning that a bunch of people who generally speaking, don't have sense enough to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel and would drown standing agog and agape and mouth open staring up at a rainstorm. Isn't it just astounding that they could act with an understanding of the broader picture, namely the acquisition of power? Isn't it just fascinating to see that they thought, hey, this guy's got a lot of problems, but we'll get him into office and then we'll push him to do the things we want him to do. And guess what? He's doing them. Isn't it particularly mind-boggling when you put that when you put that up next to our side? Our side, who, who can't vote for her? Guess what? Would have been a hell of a lot easier to try to influence her to move toward our ideas than it is to prevent Donald Trump from wholesale going after everything that we think we believe in. Isn't that just mind-boggling? How could that possibly happen? Who could possibly wield such influence to get people to act in that fashion? I'm sorry, I think about these things. Because part of the work I do is to sit here every day and watch the news roll across. The other day, it was the El Salvadorans who are here because they were persecuted and at risk politically in their own homes. It was their turn to be told that they were going to be shipped back to possible certain death. Up next, Honduras. That's coming. Yeah? But isn't that just mind-boggling? That the right wing, as stupid as we're pretty sure they are, were smart enough to understand that you have to first have power in order to wield it. That if you want change to take place, you have to have the tools and the personnel in place with which to effect that change. Isn't that just mind-boggling? Doesn't that just knock you over with a feather? Yeah, me neither. I know. Now, Brother Deacon Asa says, you're absolutely correct, Bob. I never heard a right-winger scream, but his females! Oh, wait a minute. During the course of the 2016 election, they went to the booth and they did the politically expedient thing. Never mind expedience, Asa. They did the thing that worked. They wanted power. And they wanted to be able to exercise that power. And they got both. I'm reminded of something that our buddy Steve in New York has said from time to time. I don't know if Steve's listening this evening, but we got to get better at this. We're not very good at this, and we need to get better at it. And we need to want it as bad as they do. So here's the question. How, and this isn't rhetorical. I want to know. How do we get that message across? How do we explain that you're not going to get single-payer health care from Donald J. fucking Trump? How do we explain that, no, really, you're not going to protect the Dreamers with Donald J. Trump? How do we explain that you're not going to close the income inequality gap with Donald J. Trump. Because these are questions that are going to matter more and more as 2018 unfolds. Primaries are coming. And then, of course, the midterm generals in November. And I'm already girded up because I've already seen it out there in social media. This person isn't politically pure. That person hasn't passed the progressive purity test. With absolutely no understanding whatsoever that candidates are different from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and state to state. That you could not take a good, and I like them, California progressive, and win a House seat in, say, Mississippi. How do we get that across? I mean, I know the cranks are going to be out there. But somewhere along the way, somehow, they kind of have to be minimized, don't they? I mean, if we want the house. Daryl Issa, for God's sakes. Crooked old, nasty old Daryl Issa. From the San Diego area, mysteriously, I guess you can say mysteriously, announced today that, well, he's gonna hang it up and retire and spend more time with his family. This, of course, opens up a Republican field that will consist in, for the most part, people trying to out-bizarre each other into the Republican nomination for that seat. And how about the Democrats? And because I'm a little iffy on Republican or on electoral politics in California, that's one of those so-called jungle primaries, isn't it? Wouldn't it be neat if that threw the Republican Party in that district in California into significant enough disarray that a Democrat could sneak in? And you know what? In the primaries, pick your candidate. Bust your ass for that candidate. But understand, maybe, that when it comes time for the general election, you might not be voting for that candidate. Whether it's California or somewhere else. But if you're actually as worried as I am and as worried as I know other people are about what Trump may do next, you just might want a Democratic majority in the House and Senate that could provide a check on his worst impulses, including blowing up the world. Have you read all 312 pages of the testimony transcript yet? I've gotten through a bunch of them. And I'm more convinced than I ever was that there was a bunch of dirty business going on between... what the transcript says is that they reached the conclusion that Trump was up to his orange comb over in money laundering and mob money. And that's in the White House right now. And I'm sorry, Susan Sarandon, but there ain't no goddamn lotuses rising from the Trumpian mud. I don't know if we can focus. I hope we can. And I'm not trying to inflame anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody pout and run away. But there are dumb things already going on in electoral politics. On our side. And their deliberate efforts. Sorry about the dead air. Temperature goes up a little bit, and some of it, maybe it's just a little residual coal smoke from next door. Who knows? There are people out there who are making a scad of money running so-called PACs that support so-called candidates whose only purpose is to get a bunch of credulous, ill-informed people all worked up and separate them from the money in their wallets and provide a pretty damn nice life to the same members of the political consulting class that the people holding to those politics claim to despise. And they have interesting names and lofty concepts in their titles. But when all is said and done, all it's going to do is be a money funnel for people who were already pretty damned well off in the first place. Matt in San Francisco writing, subject line, I don't know. My mother and father-in-law, who are visiting from the Philippines, and they like Trump because they say their homeland is safer ever since Duterte was elected. They're not the... I think there's a couple of typos in there, Matt. I'm sorry. I don't want to misconstrue anything you say, but Matt says, so I really don't know how to make people see crazy the way I do. Well, first you have to, you see it, Matt, because you're looking critically and with a bit of healthy skepticism. Others are looking through their rose-colored glasses, waiting for the apocarev to bring us all frisbees and wheat checks and other things that are even less likely. And I guess most of all, how do you explain something as simple as power dynamics to people who are not interested in power? They're interested in ideals, but not the means by which to enact them. A note coming in from Scott and Punky, Isa in San Diego. For the record, ISA's congressional district is mostly comprised of an area of Orange County and only includes a rather small chunk of far northern San Diego County. It's a segment of the area that's not typical of the city of San Diego. That part of San Diego County might as well be considered southern Orange County, as the conservative contagion cooties have impacted that region. Oh, what do you do when a region's impacted? And the funniest part of it is, given the virus that infects the Republican Party now, whoever winds up being the Republican nominee replacing Daryl Issa will make him, look like fighting Bob La Follette or La Follette. Yeah. Well, thank you very kindly, Silent R. Lamar. Give yourself a cowbell, Bob, for Orange Comb Over. Just a little one. Thank you. And thank you, Silent R. Lamar, for knocking out the last of Chris in Germany's Prayer Meeting Wednesday Challenge. Thank you very, very much indeed. That is a big deal. So here we are at the top of the hour. A couple more things before we finish up Prayer Meeting Wednesday. First, good old Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. You remember Dave, right? He's the one that thinks lesbians are recruiting future lesbians in softball teams all across America, women's softball teams. And he is, of course, nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake. That's a very nutty thing, Christmas fruitcake. Well, it's a new year, but it's the same old shtick. Just as was the case with the clip I played for you last night of Alex Jones losing what tiny little particles were left from his otherwise tiny mind, Dave Daubenmeyer, well, he knows what a potential Oprah candidacy means for America. These people have gone absolutely stark raving nuts over somebody who isn't even a candidate. I wonder what it is about Oprah that could have these white evangelical Christians so upset. Let's find out.
Lord, where do you want me to go here? Okay, I'll go there. I've said this before on the show.
Oh, wait. That clip actually begins with him talking to God and having God talk back to him. Just early on, a reminder that if you go through your day and if you walk down the sidewalk and you say, "What's that? Where do you want to go? Okay, let's go there." And let's say you walk into your local gun store. And you keep, "What's that? You want an AR-15 with a bump stock? You want me to get an AR-15 with a bump stock? Okay, let's get an AR-15 with a bump stock. What? 10,000 rounds? I don't know if I can afford that." Well, for you. And you're carrying on this conversation with somebody who isn't there. Hopefully... Well, gun store's probably a bad idea because they frankly don't care. But we used to live in a place where people who talked to people and then heard their answers in their own minds were deemed to be not all right. On the other hand, in 2018, in the waning years of the second decade thereof, as long as you're a member of the... white wing religion industry, you can carry on conversations inside your own noggin, and well, it's religious liberty, not mental illness. I mean, it's mental illness, but we're gonna hide it behind the First Amendment fig leaf and call it religious liberty, because that really happened. It makes me think of And I know it's one of our friend Joy's favorite films, one of mine too. Harvey. Elwood P. Dowd. Walking around the streets of his charming American small town. Talking to a puka. A mythological creature from the Celtic tradition in Wales. A puka, which in this case took the form of a 6-foot-tall rabbit named Harvey. And Elwood P. Dowd was thought to be quite crazy because he was talking to a 6 foot tall puka that happened to be a rabbit that no one could see, whose name was Harvey. And whether it be the stage play or the film, it's delightful. And whoever gets to play Elwood P. Dowd has one of the most delightful roles to work with that any actor could ever hope to have. And everybody in that old bygone Americana, everybody thinks Elwood's pretty well, he was eccentric, but now he's just nuts. Or another play, The Curious Savage, in which a woman is thought to be insane because she's very wealthy and she wants to give her money away because the kids who would otherwise receive it upon her death are awful human beings. She's insane, too. Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, though? Nope, he's sane. Start again.
And I'm going to dive right back into it again. We better wake up and understand that the attack in America is on the white Anglo-Saxon male.
The WASM? The white Anglo-Saxon male? Really? That's going to go over real good with your Richard Spencer types and your neo-Nazis and your Klansmen. And this guy just claims to be a follower of a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and an itinerant semi-literate rabbi. Wonder how long before he starts hooting about the Jews! Not long, if he hasn't already. Anyway.
Okay, I'll go there. I've said this before on the show.
God told him, by the way, to go there. And by go there, we mean God told him to talk about the attack on white Anglo-Saxon males.
And I'm going to dive right back into it again. We better wake up and understand that the attack in America is on the white Anglo-Saxon male. Do you hear what I just said?
Oh, yeah.
You're not allowed to say that, of course. Not allowed to say it.
You're not? I don't see any guys in black suits with thin black ties and white shirts talking to their wrists coming in to carry you away. Of course you're allowed to say that. You can say anything you want to, Coach Dave, as long as you hide behind the First Amendment's religious fig leaf. Of course you can. Don't be so hasty to jump up on that goddamn cross. We need the wood.
I don't know how many of you watched the Golden Globes, whatever they call those things, the other night. It was the most absolute, unbelievable frontal assault on white Christian maleness that I've ever seen. Now, they couched it behind sexual abuse. The world's richest woman stood up there and cried how she was discriminated against. The world's richest woman. And all the women dressed in black. And then you had these sissy men that came up and did self-flagellation afterwards. Oh, yeah, we're just awful. And all the way we've treated women. Whack, 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 whack.
It's not often I describe the visual aspects of these things, but really to see Coach Dave Daubenmeyer pantomiming, flagellating himself while hollering, whack, 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 whack. I haven't seen a performance art piece as good as that since Danny DeVito played the Penguin.
And then the media, you tell me this is not orchestrated. Oprah gets up there and gives that talk. And then now they want Oprah to be president of the United States.
They who? Because the last I checked, people are talking about she might be interested in running. But I haven't seen a whole lot of they's hollering Oprah for president. I mean, maybe there are some Oprah for president types. But they, well, most of them, let's, most of them live inside Dave Daubenmeyer's mind and talk to him the way that, you know, his God does.
Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey. Now, remember, Hollywood wants to give her.
Did he say her name three times? If she was really as powerful as he says she is, she probably would have appeared right there and just, I don't know, given him a car or something. Oh, Jesus.
Right. They want to give us her. Right. The God haters want to give us her. Okay. They say she's the most popular, whatever they say. Okay. Listen closely. Go ahead, Jared. Watch her eyes.
Bread and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism. And they just have to die.
Hang on a minute. Hey, Oprah, how are they going to die? You're just going to let them die of old age, Oprah, if you get to be president of the United States? You related in any way? You got any spirit anyway similar to Adolf Hitler and what he did over there? Is this just kind of reverse Nazism, Oprah? And see, folks.
Oh, we have a new phrase. Reverse Nazism. The hell is that? But don't ask. The crazy is strong with this one.
We're getting all kinds of signals like this, and we just ain't taking them. We're not taking them.
Hey, he's not taking them. You know what else he's not taking? His meds. Definitely not taking his meds. Oy. Maybe we had better take our break. Because there's more stuff. One last little thing before the break, though. One last little thing. Another one of these white supremacist, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian ministers is, of course, the incredibly powerful, incredibly wealthy Robert Jeffress. Of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. You know, by the way, question coming in from Hung Like Jesus. Bob, how much drugs and guns are dumped in white male neighborhoods? How many militarized cops in tanks are rolling down white male streets? How many white males are being redlined to death? Yeah, not so many. I get your point, Hung Like Jesus. I do. But then again, their persecution, like their God, exists entirely in their minds. And they are so terrified and so paranoid that the very idea of not being completely culturally dominant is the same thing as genocide to them. Because, of course, they've never been near anything even remotely resembling a genocide. I bet if you got this clown liquored up enough, he'd deny the Holocaust. I betcha. I just betcha. Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana, says, good God, where did they find this fuckwit? Oh, he's been around for years. Years and years. Our buddy Michael in Madison, his dad, took this guy on once years ago. And as the line goes from our offertory hymn, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah. But anyway, Bob Jeffress showed up on the Janet Mefford program. She's another religion industry lunatic. he said something that I actually halfway agree with. See if you can see if you can hear what it is.
Dr. Jeffress, great to have you here. How are you?
Great, Janet. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Did you have a rough year last year? Why didn't they quote you in this story? I thought this is missing the one voice I want to hear from.
Well, I'm not in a crisis. We had a great year last year, and it's going to be an even better year in 2018. Look, you know, poor President Trump gets blamed for everything from the melting of the polar ice caps to now the evangelical crisis.
And he even gets blamed for the stuff that he does, like declaring that he's a very stable genius.
Yes. And you know, that word crisis means divide. And I will admit, there is a divide going on among evangelicals. President Trump didn't cause the divide, but he has exposed it.
Exposed it. Okay. Well, thanks for that. By the way, we have an answer in, courtesy of Matt in San Francisco. Thank you, Matt. Reverse Nazism. You have to have a dislocated shoulder so you can straight arm salute backwards. You know, backwards. Just like the evangelicals are. Well played, Matt. Well played.
Been a growing divide, Janet, between evangelicals who take the Bible seriously and those who don't. I call them the evangelical elite, the Christianity Today crowd.
Yep.
And here's where it comes down to. Think about this. President Trump is the most pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel president in history.
And I'd love to know where that comes from. Because he's not pro-life. He hasn't been pro-life. He was a supporter of choice up until it was explained to him that, you know, you can't be a Republican president unless you bow and scrape before the anti-choice industry. Big God. Big God. Let's call him Big God. But that line that his critics don't take the Bible seriously, I'm absolutely on board with that. Because if you take the Bible seriously, that means you take seriously talking snakes, teenage girls raping their daddies after getting him drunk, the sun standing still in the sky, which means that the sun revolves around the earth. And that's just a couple to get started. So, yeah, for once, I'm on the same page with old Bob Jeffress there, who is, of course, as big a religious grifter as exists in the entire United States, beyond any shadow of a doubt. So here we are pretty much at the, we'll say here endeth the lesson. And we'll take a break, come back. I've got a caller on the line at the moment, but for later reference, if you want to get involved, 304-574-8178 or from anywhere on planet Earth. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. And courtesy of Ron and Raleigh, well, doggone it, he says, here's a bumper for the coach. And I think it's going to work. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. But, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so...
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, 'cause you notice that butt was stuffed.
skin. You say you want to get in my bins? Well, use me, because you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing, to hell with romance, and she's sweat, wet. Got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines, send flat butts all the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She got to pack much back. So, fellas,
yeah.
Fellas,
yeah.
Is your girlfriend Dr. Butt?
Hell
tell
yeah.
Her, shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it.
Shake that healthy butt. Baby got bad.
L.A. with the open booty.
I'm acting like an animal. Now here's my scandal. I wanna get you home and double up. I ain't talking about Playboy, cause silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix-a-Lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock videos. Not any bimbos walking like hoes. You can have them bimbos. I'll keep my women like Flojo. A word to the thick soul sisters, I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya, but I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Till the break of dawn, baby, got it going on. A lot of simps won't like this song, cause them punks like to hit and quit it. And I'd rather stay and play, cause I'm long and I'm strong, and I'm down to get the friction on. So, ladies,
yeah.
Ladies,
yeah.
Do you wanna roll my Mercedes?
Yeah.
Stick it out. Even white boys got the shout. Baby got back. Baby got back.
Yeah, baby. When it comes to females, Cosmo ain't got nothing to do with my selection. 36, 24, 36. Only if she's 5'3".
So your girlfriend rolls a Honda, playing workout tapes by Fonda. But Fonda ain't got a motor in the back of her Honda. My Anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun. You can do side bends or sit-ups, but please don't lose that butt. Some brothers want to play that hard role and tell you that the butt ain't gold, so they toss it and leave it, and I pull up quick to retrieve it. So Cosmo says you're fat. Well, I ain't down with that. Cause your waist is small and your curves are kicking. And I'm thinking about sticking to the beanpole dames in the magazines. You ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss, cause his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit him. And I pull up quick to get with him. So ladies, if the butt is round and you want a triple X throwdown, dial 1-900-MIX-A-LOT and kick them nasty thoughts. Baby got back.
Mix-a-Lot with a long-distance dedication going out from a long time back for Dave Dobenmeyer, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer up in Ohio. Baby got back. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. Thank you very, very kindly for the brilliant suggestion. Yes, and add to the list, as Scott and Punky point out, add to the list burning shrubs that can also talk. Well, you know, it's like that old joke we've talked about, Scott. The snake is a ventriloquist. He's doing it all. Meanwhile, let's run over to Skype and check in with Thomas. Hey, Thomas, what's going on?
Hey, Bob, I hope you can hear me on my new old mic. How are you?
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear.
That is wonderful. You played my favorite song, and thank you. And I sent you a song from the amazing Britt Summers of the Boca Britney Show, who can be heard on Nicole Sandler's when she subs for her show. She doesn't do this particular song, but it is perfect for Prayer Meeting Wednesday or anytime you play Coach Dave. And when I played that clip this morning, I thought he was talking to, because he has callers call into his show. And I thought he was like talking to a caller. So I didn't realize that it was actually God he was talking to. I heard Greg when I played the video.
So, no, he bows his head and closes his eyes and talks and then says and ask the question, and then says, okay, I'll go there.
Yeah, but Greg could be like his producer billionaire extraordinaire, you know, who provides that great.
No, Greg is later. This is at the beginning of the clip. There's no Greg.
Like I said, I have a hearing problem. I have lots of problems, and hearing is one of them. But I'm trying to help him out.
But you know, try it for yourself sometime.
No, look,
you're up there among the tragically normal. Go walking out in public. Go to the grocery store, something like that. And when you're standing there in front of the soup, say, should I get Manhattan clam chowder or New England clam chowder? And then look maybe up and to your right and say, what do you mean there's no such thing as Manhattan clam chowder?
Well,
okay, I'll get the New England clam chowder if you're going to be like that. Okay. And then when somebody says, sir, are you okay? Who are you talking to? Say, Jesus. And then they have to leave you alone.
Or they're persecuting me.
Right, because Christians are the evangelical Christians are the only people who are allowed to carry on conversations with the voices in their head, and nobody thinks there's anything wrong with it.
Well, you know, as someone who is paranoid and diagnosed, I take great offense to that. Not what you said, what he said, because, you know, I try not to talk to myself on a regular basis, and I end up doing it. But unfortunately, I never get a response back. There's always silence.
Well, no, but that's the thing. The Dave Daubenmeyers of the world get a response.
So I don't know if I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I could call Dave up and say, you know, Dave, how do you get...
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Do you live in your very own mansion?
Well...
No, just yes or no.
Do you
live in a mansion that belongs entirely to you?
No.
Do you drive a car that costs more than $50,000?
Oh, hell no. Not since I was like 20 and almost died.
Okay, so you're doing it wrong.
Clearly. But see, I'm passive aggressive. Like, you know, I don't know if you saw my GIF that I found, because I'm into these GIF things on Facebook now. And I love this. The passive aggression of the Christ. No, it's fine. I'll carry it. That's like all these white wing Christians who insult, like my best friend Steven, who is Christian and LGBT. You know, he doesn't care about all the burning bush and everything else. He likes the music and the community, if he finds a good church like I did, you know. There are good people, and I always try to separate them from the people who are like Coach Dave, and they make me more angry now that I've quote unquote found Jesus. He was never really lost. He was just kind of like playing hide and seek. And then I found the communion wave then. By the way, and I didn't put a $50 bill in it. I knew when the collection was up.
Yeah.
But he's a baby Christian. Remember that one? They were like, Trump's a baby Christian now, guys. You gotta give him a pass. He's a baby.
He's just learning. I mean, don't get me started. I just can't go down that theological rabbit hole right now. I can't.
I mean, it's like, I know I get criticism on my show because I sometimes go off on a religious tangent now, but it's not like this is what you're supposed to do, and I'm not talking to God or S. And by the way, has he checked under that robe? Because I don't know if you, how into my regular postings that I do on Facebook. I'm told that I have a Facebook posting problem where I post too much. And it's something that I should see a therapist about. But, which I do, tomorrow, in fact. That being said, I posted about the credit woman who called me ma'am. I gave her a chance. I really did. Because my voice is high. And people often wonder if I'm, you know, trans or if I, you know, they ask. And I don't mind if they ask and then they call me sir. And even it make a mistake once, and it's an honest mistake. But, like, this woman started off with ma'am after reading my name, Thomas Reynolds, right? Then went to ma'am, and I said, no, I'm a sir. Then went to miss, and then I said, no, I have a penis. It's sir. Then went to on me because I was like, no, let me get you the information so I can actually prove to you that you guys got your information wrong and I'm a sir. And she hung up without even getting you, because the dispute is whether or not I paid on my card, which I paid on, and they sent me a thank you email of thank you for your payment, and all she had to do was wait for me to read it to her. And she couldn't even do that because apparently I was too aggressive with, you know, snuffleupagus, apparently. And I think that's what it is. He does not like strong women. And Oprah, I'm not in the Oprah 2020 crowd, but Oprah is a strong woman. And I've talked to men on the phone who think I'm a woman before, and they talk down to me, and I've had to say, sir, I have a penis. Let's stop with the conversation, and let's have a real conversation, because you're talking down to me. And Bob, I tell you, that man who was just the minute before talking down to me as if I was going to make him a sandwich changes their tone like that. And I think not only is it a race thing, I think it's the fact that it's a woman thing, and he is afraid of any woman's authority because he's going to get spanked.
Well, that's probably the wrong term. He might want to get, There's an element of people like Coach Dave and other members, you probably don't. A few years ago, when the Southern Baptist Convention reaffirmed that a woman is to be submissive to her husband.
Yes, I do. Yes.
So by definition, no woman can have a leadership position.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Unless it's politically expedient to them. I mean, they'll run to the polls again to vote for, say, you know, Ivanka, and they'll say, I'm with her.
Yeah, okay. Except maybe, you know, Sloppy Steve or Woody. Wouldn't Sloppy Steve vote for her?
Oh, sure, because Sloppy Steve says he's, you know, he's been in Trump's camp all along. Well, that's just, you know, if it was anybody but Sloppy Steve, it would be pathetic.
That's true. I've made this conversation go off the rails. I'm sorry.
Happens. I'm not particularly beaten up about it.
But that being said, to bring it back on, I think a lot of this is, like you were saying, they can't have women of authority unless, and even these women who are in the Republican establishment who have so-called authority don't really have any.
Well, I mean, here's a classic example. For years and years and years, the right-wing evangelical group Concerned Women for America had a male executive director or president or something.
Was it Phil Schlafly?
No, that's Eagle Forum. That's Schlafly. No.
No, I call her that because I got in trouble once because I talked about how dry something was. Oh, wait. I got to stop.
Well, no, you mean Phyllis Schlafly, National Treasure?
Yeah, yes. I talked about how not moist something was in the nether regions on my show, and I got heckled by my rightly so, because I went off. I mean, I went God told me where to go, and I went overboard. And I hit the iceberg. And so now, instead of, I turned it into a thing now where if I ever say her name, I have to add the extra L's to remind myself not to, you know, think about her moisture or lack thereof. And I just did it again. Sorry.
No apology necessary. No worries at all.
But she's probably really dry now, being, you know, 6 feet under. Or did they cremate her? Is she in an urn? Do we know?
Do we care?
No.
I mean, I think they should have buried her in a toxic waste dump, just like her politics. But that's me, and I'm mean.
Well, I thought they would have buried her right between Nancy and Ronnie. You know?
That's cold. That's a hell of a thing to do to a corpse.
Which one?
I'll leave that part up to you.
And I was a Republican once.
Well, see, I wasn't. That's why I'm leaving it up to you. You pick.
There you go. I'd go with Nancy because, you know, she did so much for the LGBT community during the HIV/AIDS crisis.
Oh, well, yes. And people need to understand you're being sarcastic.
Yeah. Just as much as Jill Stein did.
There we go. Now I'll get the hate mail.
No, let me get the hate. I've been trying to get hate mail for years, and I've only gotten the closest I've gotten to one was a threat of hate mail, and they never sent it to me. So I'm trying to figure out why, one, people are unwilling.
I got to figure out some of these pathologies. You need to take them up with your therapist, Thomas. Why do you want people to steal your precious finite time on this little planet? Why do you want wingnut mail? Why?
Because wingnut mail is fun. Because I can translate.
No, it's not fun. They're stealing your life.
Oh, that's been stolen several times over. I mean, remember, I'm the guy with the defibrillator who complains too much, but that's part of my shtick. If I didn't complain, I wouldn't be breathing. It's too hot in here. It's too cold. Not, it's too hot. But that being said, I strongly suggest, as you played my favorite song, because I do like women. Well, I like men like that, too. But, never mind. I've already corrupted the show enough. Ooh, we need prayer. That song is perfect for today. Or any prayer.
Oh, that's why Ron and Raleigh chose it.
Oh, well, that and the one that I sent you.
Oh, yes, okay.
And because now, like I said, Boca did not perform that particular song. However, she gave me permission to use it, and I know she would adore if she found out that you used it, because I know she's a fan of yours. So that much I can pretty much say without having to talk to her. And wait, coming in from the censors. Yes, she says it's okay. And I'm not sure which she, because there are a lot of gods out there that I talk to.
I understand.
But Bob, I'll let you go, and I've corrupted the show enough. And by the way, anybody wants me to send it, the Jill Stein hate mail? And for the record,
No, Thomas, now this is just pathetic. Stop it.
No. For the record, I thought she was a better candidate in 2008.
You have to. You're going to have to go somebody and pay them to abuse you. Okay, you can't use the Horn Family Community Congregation for that, Thomas.
First of all, that was Craigslist in Las Vegas. Second of all, don't make me snort, please, on the air.
Well, too late now, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, Thomas, you have yourself a good evening. Take care.
My friend.
Enjoy your therapist tomorrow.
Oh, she will. Not.
Bye now. That's the one and only Thomas from FYINation.com. And from Connecticut, we run diagonally clear across the country. And where Scott and Punky are chiming in. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, I heard the fork in the on the plate or the jar before I heard your voice, so I knew you were
there. Let me turn up my little volume here because I'm not hearing you. Wait a minute. I didn't think you were going to answer that quickly.
Well,
can you say it again?
No, I said I knew you were there because I heard like a fork clinking against a plate or... Maybe it sounds a little bit like an olive jar, or
no. I'm making a cup of my El Cheapo instant coffee. I normally don't have it this late in the afternoon, but I figured, what the hell? It's Wednesday.
Is this coffee freeze dried? It's very good. One of the great lines from The In-Laws.
It's. I hesitate to even go into it.
Sanka.
You're welcome. It's because of the bad rap that the Nestle company gets. Wait a minute. I filled it too high, so I had to lean over and do a sip so I can carry it into the living room. But anyway, it's Nestle's. It's Taster's Choice.
This coffee is freeze-dried. It's very good.
And if you've got to drink instant coffee, I'm telling you, if you can get past the politics and the business practices of the company that makes it, it's not bad coffee.
Okay, see, I'm not gonna go where ever so many people would go, and I'm gonna start getting emails about instant coffee because the things that grab the attention of this community are beyond rhyme or reason. And as the guy who every time he says decaf, it gets email about that. I'm going to resist the urge to say there's no such thing as good instant coffee. So I did not say that.
Okay.
I didn't
right.
say that.
Well, I mean, on the topic of places that this program will go to conversationally, I think Thomas gave us Exhibit A on that. The moisture index of Phyllis Schlafly's twat. I mean, good God.
See, you were just waiting to finish the Thomas had the decency and common grace not to do that. But no. Okay. 7:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Horn train is off the rails and running straight true and hot in the gutter.
Oh, God, stop it. Stop it.
Me? You?
You just make such a thing of it. Most people, if you would just let it lay there, as it were, and, people will move on. They'll, because our brains have been wired now, what with a year of Trump under our collective belts. Our brains now have been wired none of us can manage the attention span of a gnat on methamphetamine. I mean, that's how bad it is. It's like from one fucking moment to the next. It's not a.
It's all. It's what we got.
Well, it's the 24-hour news cycle has become obsolete. It's a minute-to-minute news cycle.
I would tend to agree. I think it's by design.
Oh, of course.
It's harder. It's harder to oppose what you can't keep up with.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you can't blind them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit, is the Trump mantra. That's his marching orders for the world. And so far, it seems to be working, except when it's not. But I didn't call about that. I called about the latest. They're going to have to put in revolving doors in the exits at the GOP House of Representatives, because they're crawling over one another to be the first out the door.
Yeah, but why? Why?
Well, and see, I predicted that.
Because see, this is that scene out on the Garden State Parkway in the original Men in Black, where Reggie's trying to get off the planet because his wife's about to have a baby squid, and Kay keeps asking, why are they in such a hurry to get out of here?
Well, I kind of predicted this early on in the conversation some months ago. After Trump assumed office, I said on this program and on Facebook and other places, I said, bide your time, boys and girls. Don't go batshit crazy. The Republicans will only latch on to Trump as long as he is their useful idiot, as long as they can benefit from his presence in the Oval Office. And when they see signs that that plan is not working for them, they will do what all cockroaches do, or rats on a sinking ship. They will scurry. Okay? And hell, one of the people on TV was saying that it's already up to 18 Republican incumbents in the House, either retiring or choosing not to run. The balance of power in the House right now is 24, which at this rate is, hell, they may get it. The Democrats may take control of the House.
Okay, but realistically, what's the chance of a Democrat taking Darrell Issa's seat?
The guy who ran against him, the former Marine or Army guy, this last time got within, a whisper of beating him. I forget the guy's name, but...
Okay, so it's not as much as a lost cause as I might have otherwise thought.
Oh, no. And see, out here in California, the Democrats are probably going to do rather well, even in seats where the Republican incumbent is not retiring or refusing to run again in 18.
Well, what impact does the jungle primary have in all of this?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
The way the California primary system is structured.
Oh,
the way the California electoral system is structured.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you look at the primary race for the Senate seat now occupied by Kamala Harris. It was ultimately two Democrats were running for the seat. I think there was also a third party and a Republican that got votes in the earlier primaries. But ultimately, it came down to two Democrats and a bunch of third party people running for that seat. And while I'm thinking about it, let me also go on record to say that I won't support Kamala Harris for president. I won't support Gillibrand as president, owing to their orchestration of the way.
Oh, you mean the nice Christian ladies coup against Al Franken?
Yeah. The Franken thing was such a debacle, and I certainly am not going to vote for Oprah Winfrey. And I had a friend.
Okay, but time out.
All right, go ahead.
If any one of those three was the actual Democratic nominee for president against Donald Trump in 2020, what do you do?
Well, that'll never happen because Trump will not.
No. We got to be on. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, Scott. It's a hypothetical. You don't get to say that'll never happen. Because it's a thought experiment. You have to work within the parameters of the experiment.
Yeah. Well, I would like to think that I would have the courage of my convictions in 2020 not to vote for anybody in that particular race.
Wait. After everything we've been through with 2016 and everything we've talked about...
Wait a minute, you faded out there a little bit.
I said, with everything that we've talked about regarding 2016... and the people who just couldn't bring themselves to vote for the devil, you're telling me that you would not support the Democratic nominee in 2020?
Yeah, well, yeah. And the only reason that would be the case is, A, I would be sticking to what I said I would do. And the other factor in it is the fact that 2020 is not going to be 2016. It's not going to be a narrow race should Trump survive to run for a second term. Hell, they could put, think of the most incompetent Democrat you can think of up against Trump, and I won't say it would be a cakewalk, but by then, good God, Trump will, if he's still around, which I don't think he will be, in office or even physically, he's going to be just, you know, his body may still be around, but his brain is going to be out to lunch permanently. What's left of it by then. But, you know, it won't be a cakewalk, but it will certainly not be as tight a contest as 16 was.
You really think that?
I definitely think that, Bob. And who foresaw as early on as I did that there was a damn good chance that we would retake the House in 2018? I mean, sometimes I do get one right. I'm like the blind pig, I guess, in that respect, and the broken timepiece.
I can't make such sunshiny assumptions about something so far in the future, because
you did with Doug Jones in Alabama. You saw that fairly early on, I think.
Well, no, I did, but I saw it. But it was based on the. It was. I said what I said. You know, early on, I said, "Hey, who's opposing?" And then that guy's a sacrificial lamb. I said that, but then after the Republican primary and after the Republican runoff. And I looked at the pathetic numbers of the turnout, that's when I said this is doable.
Yeah, it was like 7% of the
7.5%. Yeah, he won the runoff with 7.5% of the available. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think, and you've spun out like Spider-Man several different webs that we need to go back and run down. I don't think it's going to be anything easy in 2020, because I go back to something Bob Byrd said to me many, many years ago. Son, there's only two ways to run for office: unopposed and scared to death.
Yeah.
One. Two, I can already tell you that, you know, that this cakewalk, this 2016 cakewalk, that's going to be a Dem tsunami. Well, the Republicans are going to run on the Dow being at 25,000. And we already know that Republicans have no morals. They have no ethics. And they've gotten what they wanted in the way of taxation issues. And they're getting their heart's desire in the way of bigotry and voter suppression. The argument's going to be made that we've got to continue the great Trump agenda, and they'll also campaign on those Democrats only want power so they can impeach him.
But see, that only works if the people who are voting buy that argument. And I'm telling you, Bob, Democrats are not going to have happen to them what happened to them in 2016. Pardon me. It simply will not reoccur.
You make me want to be a little bit of a smartass and say, are we talking about the same Democratic Party?
Yeah, and when I say Democrats, Bob, I mean people who, not the namby-pamby, crazy unicorn, sparkle fart, pony brigade, and not even the ones who are so unsure of themselves or unconfident in America's future that they would actually swing over to vote for Trump like a lot of them did for Nixon in 68 and 72 and a lot of them did for Reagan in 80 and 84. I'm talking about lifelong Democrats who are not easily swayed, who have a clear focus on what the hell the deal is. Those are the Democrats I'm talking about. And to the extent that we can get those folks charged up, what did Obama used to say, charged up and ready to go, or there was some tagline that he used. To the extent that those people become engaged, like we saw in Virginia and like we saw in Georgia, I think it would serve the future of this country quite well, thank you very much. So that's the Democrats I'm talking about. And I'm not saying that 2020 is going to be a cakewalk. I even prefaced that. But if people on our side and independents are by 2020 are not on to the scam of Donald Trump and the Republican Party, then we deserve whatever happens if it happens the other way. And by that time, I'll just hang it up and say, I'm not going to play this game anymore. Because if there's not a dedicated group of people who realize what's at stake and behave accordingly, then it's hardly worth playing the game anymore. And that's I mean, I get cynical and disillusioned sometimes. But that's saying something for me. If it ever got to the point where I didn't vote every chance I got, then something is seriously wrong either with me or with the fucking system. I didn't mean to go off on a rant there.
Well, no. That's okay. I mean, maybe I'm just constitutionally precluded from being as sunshiny as you are.
Well, didn't you originally ask about because
you dropped out for a minute. Didn't I originally ask about what?
About the Democratic prospects for 2018 in terms of the midterms and retaking the House.
Well, I did, yeah.
Yeah, well, what do you think about that? I mean, hell, by attrition, the Democrats may take over the House. I mean, maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think I am because a lot of people are on to Trump.
But let's remember, every 2 years, the entire House is up for re-election.
Yeah.
So they have to hang on for all they're worth to what they have, and they have to pick up extra seats. And
yeah,
I get
24 seats.
I get nervous when I hear pundits say things like, "Well, you know, the president in power is part the party always does poorly." Everything's out the window after 2016, and I'm gonna go all the way back to a question that I wanted to ask early on in this discussion. When you were talking about all the Republicans who are heading for the exits, my question is why? Now, we know in the case of people like Farenthold in Texas and and that skeevy who's the skeevy creep? Was that Joe Barton? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We know why they're not running again. But I've been trying to game this out in my own poor little noggin for a couple of days now. And on the one hand, you think, huh, I wonder how extensive the Russian oligarch money extends throughout the Republican body politic. Because I'm beginning to see inklings that there was a lot of it spread around. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I wonder to what extent is it a matter of them being quietly shown the door? Or, on the other hand, is it a matter of trying to sort of passive-aggressively strike back at Trump? Or is it perhaps a matter of passive-aggressively striking at Ryan? Or is it a matter of hightailing it out of town after they've, you know, robbed the bank? I'd feel a little bit better, and this has to do with my own need for understanding. I'd feel a little bit better if I understood the motivations behind all of these things.
Well, it's going to vary from representative to representative. You take Ed Royce, another GOP California House of Representatives representative from California, who announced like the day before yesterday he was not going to run again after, I think, six terms in the House. And he was the chairman of some committee, and he's termed out in terms of his chairmanship of the committee. Sometimes that's enough to make them say, I don't want to go back to the anonymity of being just another House member, you know, when they lose that chairmanship. And that would occur whether the Democrats retake the House or not. Let's see. I'm trying to think who else has recently said they're not running again.
Well, a couple of months back, there was Charlie Dent in PA.
Okay, now Dent in PA was kind of wasn't he like bordering on a moderate, what passes for a moderate
Republican?
Yeah,
he was arguably an anti-Trumper.
Yeah. And he may have been premature, because at the time he did that, Steve Bannon was still running Breitbart and was still not in the White House, but still had Trump's ear to a certain extent.
But, you know, I'm not saying that they don't have problems, Scott. I think about somebody like Peter King out on, he's out on Long Island.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's on, I'm not sure. I can't remember. Exactly.
He might be in Staten Island.
But he's been as safe as safe could be. How is he, in the wake of the screwing that New Yorkers took in the tax scam, how's he going to run against Donald Trump and protect that seat at the same time?
The first thing, it would be very helpful if he did not vote in favor of that tax bill, and I don't think he did. He would have been a fool to have voted in favor of it. But offhand, I don't know whether he did or didn't. I would be surprised if he supported it. Let's just put it that way. But sometimes these Republican guys are in districts that are surrounded. They're like a spot of red in a sea of blue. Peter King's a good example of this. And they get by simply on the basis that they're not as lunatic fringe as some other Republicans in the House. Plus, they do good constituent services. Sometimes that can save your ass when it looks bleak for other House members, you know, in your party. So that could be something that has served him well. But I don't know. I don't know. I just... All I know is if it's like the old noted political philosopher Red Fox used to say, when you can see the handwriting on the wall, you're in the toilet, okay? And a lot of these guys are seeing the handwriting, and they're going to get while the getting's good for whatever reason. And I say good riddance to a lot of them.
Well, I do too, but you're getting a little bit of pushback, not just from me. Michael in Madison says, subject line 2020, I thought 2004 should have been a cakewalk too. I thought America should have been onto the Bush-Cheney scam too. I'm skeptical. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, everyone said the 2004 election wasn't even going to be close. That, with all of his fuck-ups, W would have no chance. We saw what happened. At least those of us who were watching.
Oh, yeah, I know. I remember that. I wept that night.
And then Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana said, we can't take anything for granted. It's the this'll be a cakewalk mindset is what got us this orange asshole. We have to take 2018 and 2020 like our lives depend on it, because they do.
Well, and this brings up something that I wanted to ask you about. I know that you have HBO, or used to have it. Did you happen to see Vice News last night, the little half-hour show that they do?
I didn't.
Well, you missed an interest. Or I think it was last night. It was either last night or the night before. There's a woman named Bell, Crystal Bell or Kristen Bell or something, who has got a PAC going where she's trying to run Democratic candidates for House seats, maybe even Senate seats, but I know House seats. And she's running a guy in West Virginia, and I can't remember the name of the district, but he is okay with coal. He's okay with the Second Amendment. And he's like,
Are you talking about Rich Ojeda?
Is he a former military guy?
Yep.
Yeah, that may be the guy. I didn't note his name when I was watching, because I couldn't believe it. But I think he's an example of the type of Democratic candidate that you were talking about earlier in the filibuster, that a guy or a woman who would do well out here on the left, you couldn't translate that candidate to whatever his district is there in West by God, Virginia, because the people want someone that they're a little bit more or a lot more comfortable with. I'll send you that link.
And yet he's the long shot.
Well, he may well be.
The Joe Manchin Democratic machine is apparently behind the former mayor of Huntington, West Virginia. Now, I'm speaking off the cuff here. I may be wrong, but that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken personally with Rich Ojeda, O-J-E-D-A. In the rest of the world, it would be Ojeda. It's Ojeda in West Virginia. Don't ask. He's the guy who got the shit beat out of him an election cycle back by one of the political power brokers there in Logan County. That's how politics is played there. He's a decent guy, and he takes the position of we got to have coal because we got nothing else, which is at least not quite the same as saying God put coal in the ground to make hillbillies happy. So it's at least a slightly more nuanced position. He is running for a House seat that is open because the guy who would be the incumbent is going to square off against a guy named Patrick Morrissey and a guy named Don Blankenship in the primary for the Senate seat presently held by Joe Manchin.
Is that the Don Blankenship?
The Don Blankenship.
Oh, God save us.
Now, if you want an example of political stupidity, there's the full-on con job that is the notion of primarying Joe Manchin. I despise Joe Manchin. Okay, anybody who listens to this program knows the low esteem in which I hold Joe Manchin, but primarying him from the progressive left as part of a nationwide campaign of that sort of thing is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. Because this isn't Ver-fucking-mont. Okay? One. Two, it's not California. And three, it's not Oregon. Four, it's not Washington. Five, it's not New York. Six, it's not Connecticut. Seven, it's not Massachusetts. It's West, by God, Virginia. And there are not enough progressives or liberals to support a primary, a progressive primary challenge against Joe Manchin. The only way that you can get that could possibly happen is if a bunch of Republicans decide to come over and rat-fuck the Democratic primary, but then they've got a problem because there's a three-dog race, and I mean dogs, over in the Republican primary that's going to have people interested in it. And it's just, it's the silliest goddamn thing since the Jill Stein presidential campaign.
Well, it's magical thinking.
Precisely.
That was the dynamic with Stein. I mean, Jesus. But to answer the folks who were asking, you know, who were commenting on the cakewalk nature of 18 or 2020, I know that 2020 is not going to be a cakewalk because a lot will be at stake. I know even that control of the House by the Democrats in 2018 will not be a cakewalk in the sense that, you know, I don't intend to be active between now and election night of this year. God, the time sure does fly, doesn't it? But, you know, so even 2018 is not going to be a cakewalk. But a year into Trump, I think I see a little more clearly that it's not some far-fetched notion. I mean, at least they'll give me that much.
I don't think it's impossible that Democrats could take the House, but I assess the situation, Scott, with my eyes wide open, understanding that these districts are so badly gerrymandered that you're talking about a situation in which you're going to have crazy, like 70-80% turnout in order to do it. Because the last several congressional elections, 16, 14, 12, the Democrats, if you add up all the people who voted for Democrats in House districts and you add up all the people who voted for Republicans in House districts, the Democrats won going away. And yet they wind up with a significant minority. That's what the gerrymandering is. And gerrymandering matters in House races where it doesn't matter in Senate races.
I know that, but let's remember Georgia and let's remember Virginia, okay? If the Democrats in all of these places where there is a House race in 2018, and that is everywhere, where there is a Republican incumbent, okay, if those voters and those organizers use some of the same dynamics that were used for success in Virginia and in Georgia, and focus on these seats, especially in the exurbs of these major metropolitan areas.
Well, let me be clear about something. Which Georgia success are you talking about? The Atlanta mayor's race?
No, I'm talking about the fact that Georgia now has a Democrat in the Senate for the first time in what, 20 some odd years?
No, Georgia doesn't. Are you talking about Alabama?
Alabama, I'm sorry. I'm. What's in this coffee? Jesus, I'll be all right. No, I'm talking about the success that we had in Alabama. Jesus, I'll be okay. And in my home state of Virginia in this past year, if we can replicate that type of energy and effort and focus it on these House seats that are held by Republicans in the outskirts of major metropolitan cities everywhere and keep what we've got in the House, I think we have the prospect of doing quite well. Thank you very much. And that's on the basis of the tide of stuff that's in the air. Okay. And it's on the basis of the traditional thing of the presidential party never does well in the, seldom does well in the midterms. There's that factor. And there's also the factor of we're tired of crazy talk. I think most people, if you ask them, are tired of crazy talk. Now, I'm not including in that the people who thrive on crazy talk and for whom crazy talk is the way to go and who actually have conversations with invisible, supposedly divine entities. Those people, you know, I would say give those people up because they're not going to listen to you anyway. It's like Mark Twain said of the young missionary who went to deep, dark Africa, and the natives listened with great interest, and then they put until they put him in a pot and boiled him and ate him. Okay? Up until then, they were just the utmost of courteous listeners. So, that's my take.
Well, like I said, I'm grateful for a universe where we've gotten you back from the ledge of calling this program and saying we're all screwed.
some of that was for dramatic effect. But then again, there was a time when it really looked like, you look up and you see the nipples on crawling creatures, and that's not a good sight.
Well, no, it's not, and there's so much work to be done, and if the primary processes that yielded the Democratic nominees were less adversarial, I would put more stock in your theory. As it is, I think I don't believe we live in a time where. Where good things happen just because of the political tenor of the moment. You talk about Alabama. I'm glad for what happened in Alabama, but here's a couple of things. One, every House race and every Senate race is not going to have a Republican fucking pedophile running for the seat. So that dynamic's not going to be there. And two, how much get out the vote effort can be accomplished? How successful can that be? Because Alabama was an extraordinary get out the vote effort. Now, and I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable. I'm just trying to provide the other side of the coin. Virginia. Northern Virginia probably hates Donald Trump more than any other heavily populated area outside of California and Massachusetts, maybe New York. You're not necessarily going to have that everywhere either. And the Trumpanzees are automatic. They are automatic in just about any Republican district. So that means, boom, you've got 32%. Off the bat. And it's not that hard to scrape up in a Republican district the requisite 19 more percent that you need to win. A Democrat has to come up with 51%.
All right.
A Trumpanzee member of the House or Senate only has to come up with 19%.
Well, Democrats will not be successful everywhere vis-a-vis the congressional races. I'm confining my optimism to the places where we have the best opportunity. Because, first of all, here it is, not even the end of January, not even the first half of January of 2018, and we've got 18 Republican incumbents in the House who have said no more, okay? If two-thirds of those races in November, two-thirds of 18 would be what, 12? If two-thirds of those races are won by Democrats, that's half of the battle right there. because for control, we're only talking about 24 fucking House seats. And if in this country there are not 24 House seats in Republican hands now that are gettable, then I don't know that there's any hope at all. Then we really are screwed. But I'm thinking that given today's environment and Donald Trump and the irresponsibility of Paul Ryan's House, hell, there's even talk of Paul Ryan stepping down at the end of this current term. And he's the fucking GOP Speaker of the House. And he's gotten what he wanted in terms of the tax bill. He wants to gut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And even if he gets some of that, which I don't think he will, because that is a third rail that you dare not fuck with.
I wish that was still the truth in politics.
Well, I'm telling you, there's a hell of a lot of retired people on both sides of the aisle who rely on Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, but Scott...
And then you add to that the number of disabled people in this country who also receive Social Security benefits and Medicare and sometimes Medicaid.
Well, here, watch this. I'm going to do a trick. It's radio. You can't watch. Listen to this. I'm going to do a trick.
All right.
And I'm going to immunize anything that Paul Ryan wants to do to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid against exactly the people you just mentioned. And I'm only able to do this because it's what they've done before. Hey, I know you're worried. But listen, if you're on Social Security and Medicare now, we're not going to touch your benefits. We're not going to fuck you. We're going to fuck them.
All right, and I'll give you that trick used to work.
Still does.
No,
and they'll run out and go, fuck them. The only problem being, I'm them.
It hasn't been tried, okay? And I think I really, not to, you know, put you down in any way, but I do have to say that having been on Social Security disability for some time now, I have a good feel for my fellow recipients, and I think we number what, about 12 or 13 million people or more, not just disabled, but all told Social Security beneficiaries. I would dare say that the vast majority of us realize the importance not only to us, but to those in line behind us. And that trick, like, it might have worked before, but they would really have to sell it in a disingenuous way, and people would have to have taken a week's worth of Horn Laboratory stupid pills for it to work the way you're describing it. I just don't see that.
You don't think maggots would vote against their own interests?
Well, they already have. Yeah, that's true.
Well, but once I'm again, talking... that's 32%. All you got to do is get 19 more.
All right. Well, okay. I'll let you have this argument. I'm telling you that it is not going to be as bleak as you're painting it, and it may not be quite as rosy as I'm painting it. Maybe it will be somewhere in the middle. Hopefully leaning in our direction, okay? But I'm just, I brought it up simply on the basis of bringing up Paul Ryan there and that revolving door of people leaving on the House side, on the Republican side of the House side. And I'm telling you, it may not be the fucking exodus out of Egypt with Moses and the chosen people, but I'm telling you, that there is an exodus going on.
No, it smells a lot like rats off a sinking ship.
Well, yeah, you could call it that. You could call it that. As a matter of fact, you just did. Okay? I'm just telling you that these things tend to be cyclical, and there is a pendulum effect, and sometimes when we go too far off to one side, we have the capacity in this country to self-correct. Or at least to not repeat things that we did once before that were irretrievably stupid. And I hope that that dynamic works.
Can you cite that dynamic at work any time this century?
This century? The 21st century?
Yeah.
No, but I can give you examples in my lifetime if you'll broaden the playing field.
Okay. Can you? How about post? How about from 1980 forward?
Well, go back just a little bit further. We did not repeat the foolishness of 1972 in terms of presidential elections in 1976. We booted Ford out, okay?
Barely.
A win is still a win, as Trump said. And in the intervening midterm elections in 74, granted, there was a different House at that time, but the Democrats picked up 49 fucking seats from Republicans in 74. Okay? Now, we didn't do so well in 80. We certainly didn't do well in 84. Okay? We didn't do too well at all in 88. We thought we were doing well in 92 and 96, but that turned around to bite us in the form of the telecommunications bill and the so-called reform.
Yeah, look, as I've said, Scott, looking back, I can't see a whole lot of difference in Bill Clinton in 92 versus George H.W. Bush in 1992 based on what those presidencies wound up, you know, putting through.
Well, it's quite possible, Bob, that Adam Curtis is correct. And if you're not sure who Adam Curtis is, his most recent documentary is called Hyper-Normalization, the British spelling of normalization. It's like 2.5 hours, but God damn it, if it doesn't explain precisely how we got to where we currently are, I don't know what does. It's called Hyper-Normalization. It's on YouTube. And I'm telling you, his theory is that this is all part of a scheme that has to do with taking politics out of the equation entirely. And those of us who still play in that sandbox are deluding ourselves because the bankers have been in charge for upwards of the last 50 years. I mean, seriously in charge. And that politics is just the button for the walk and don't walk sign at most major intersections. It gives you something seemingly useful to do while the light is cycling the way it's going to cycle, the way it's been programmed to cycle. And I'm telling you, that I watched that thing not long ago, and it scared the fluorescent piss out of me how right Adam Curtis was. And it's a recent documentary. It's from 2016. So, I mean, it could be that we're just in a big conversational circle jerk and that politics is not going to be the answer because it hasn't truly been the answer for some time now. It's all pressing the walk, don't walk sign button. There's another version of we're totally screwed. I mean, if Adam Curtis is right, then we truly are wasting our time.
Yeah, and I'm leery of those kinds of theories, Scott, because that means we can all just go home.
Well, yeah, I get that, and I don't truly, honestly buy into it. But he does give a compelling history of the decline of things in the last 45 to 50 years, vis-a-vis the ineffectiveness of politics and government, and the rise of the import and power of the banking industry.
And I get that, but let me just say this, and I don't this is not directed toward you because I know better. But I've been seeing this banker stuff for long enough, and I know my history well enough that I'm suspect. Whenever I hear someone who fixates on the bankers.
Well, I don't because, mean it ethnically.
Well, no, but see, that's the thing. It's unstated but understood to a certain class of people susceptible to a dog whistle.
Oh, I know.
Well,
when I and say it's, bankers,
it's, and it's been used in the past. Now, if you want to talk, for instance, about dirty money flowing out of Kazakhstan and into a bizarre little Cypriot bank that was run by Wilbur Ross, the present Secretary of Commerce, and a man with the blood of 12 human beings from West Virginia on his hands, that's a different conversation. That's money mm-hmm. laundering. That's not banking.
Well, and I guess I should define my terms. When I talk about banking, I mean it in the same generic way as I refer to international armaments dealers and people of that ilk. Those are the two groups, the financial industries and the armaments industries, and that could be everything from handguns to, you know, thermonuclear devices and the delivery systems to send them on their merry way. I'm talking about the people whose well-being and profits are dictated and achieved through the misery and advantage taking of others. And I don't bring anything ethnic to that term.
No, I know you don't. But like I said,
and I know some do.
But it's got a historic dog whistle embedded into it that some people hear. And I can't tell you the number of times that you see that, and then pretty soon, well, what about the Rothschilds?
Yeah, or the Illuminati.
I mean, I had a story for prayer meeting Wednesday that Tony posted on my Facebook page that seems appropriate now, just if for no other reason than for the giggle. have you seen the new Taco Bell ads?
No.
Darn the luck. Because Taco Bell has apparently decided to make fun of the people who are out there, and there's a lot of them, who say things like, Bruga Bruga the Illuminati, Bruga Bruga Bilderberg, Bruga Bruga Bohemian Grove, Bruga Bruga.
Okay. Have they got the Chihuahua doing the ads again?
No, it's a, let me see, just so you can hear the audio, at least, so we'll have the frame of reference. Let me see if I can pull it up. Because it's a huge campaign. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. What's weird is I'm trying to find the goddamn ad. And what am I getting instead? I'm getting a bunch of right-wing paranoids hooting about Taco Bell, Belluminati, okay? Belluminati is more conditioning. Shocking new Illuminati Taco Bell commercial. Truth hidden in plain sight. Taco Bell is Illuminati. And I just wanted to play the audio of the goddamn stupid commercial. So lo and behold, enter Charlie Daniels.
Oh, God.
The devil went down to Taco Bell. He was looking for a chalupa to steal. Right? Twitter, Charlie Daniels. Hey, Taco Bell. The Illuminati is not a frivolous subject. I mean, this is Taco Bell Illuminati ad. Let me put that in there. See if I.
Well, I'll tell you.
Here's one of them. Let's see if maybe this isn't a right wing website, just so people can.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is your last chance.
No, this is the Down the Rabbit Hole Network, and it begins with a scene from that goddamn movie with Keanu Reeves in it about pills. Let's try it again. Oh, that video is unavailable. Son of a bitch. Taco Bell Illuminati commercial.
There's a powerful connection between the dollar and Taco Bell. Because it unlocks a world of 20 decadent menu items from breakfast to late night for just a dollar each. 20 items for a dollar. 20 steps on the pyramid. Who's really behind this? Is it the Illuminati or the Bell-Illuminati? Experience the power of the dollar at Taco Bell.
And it has the right wing absolutely half out of what was left of their tiny minds.
Yeah.
I mean, it, Jesus.
That it exists.
And so if you just search this stuff, Charlie Daniels warns Taco Bell the Illuminati is not a frivolous subject. Taco Bell Illuminati commercial, third alternative, Taco Bell Illuminati. My God. It's pure camp. It's pure spoof. You've got people standing around with red cloaks and hoods on eating a goddamn taco.
Like something out of Eyes Wide Shut.
See, it's in plain sight, man. They're definitely manipulating us. And the Jew bankers.
Well, wait.
Boom.
Bob, when you mentioned Charlie Daniels doing pontificating about it on Twitter, it reminded me of one of the most salient points that Adam Curtis raises in this documentary, and that is the rise of social media like Twitter and Facebook, that all of that is so highly designed that it knows what buttons of ours to press, so that it nothing comes of it. It all turns into a circular exercise of pressing our buttons, causing us to engage so that more buttons can be pressed, so that we engage, so that more buttons can be pressed. In other words, again, it's something to keep us busy while whoever is in charge of whatever gets done is doing their thing, that we are happily, blithely disengaged in mouth music. And I'm not saying that all of us do that, but a lot of people fall into that trap. And I think the fact that someone like Trump can get elected president is exhibit A as to why that's not such a good idea to fall into that social media trap where it's all about bitching and moaning. I know I'm not supposed to use that word, bitching, but moaning and complaining and
pissing
getting our
works,
buttons
yeah.
pushed. Pissing, okay. It's all about pissing and moaning. And nothing gets done. You know, to me, it's not a healthy exercise or enterprise, because we play right into the hands of people, if there are such people.
No, I'm not talking about playing into anything. I'm talking about the people who get worked over this kind of stuff. I mean,
well, that's what I mean.
This stuff will show up as an Alex Jones clip in another day.
Oh, I know, but the whole fucking thing is designed to get us worked up over shit. And sometimes there's a valid reason for
it. Well, I mean, it doesn't work me up. I just think it's funny.
No, I know that. But it's funny to watch the people for whom it does work, who don't get the fucking joke, to watch them get worked up. But it really stops being funny that someone, unless they're doing it tongue-in-cheek, which I don't... Oh, God, I... hope that they are, but I don't think so.
I mean, you think that's a big joke, the Bell-Illuminati. Well, I bit into a Taco Bell taco the other day, and it had a chemtrail in it.
Well, of course. It's the chemtrail produced by the guy farting his ass off, hurrying to the restroom, and there's nothing.
And you know what? You know what else I found? You know what else I found out? And I immediately wrote an email to Jill Stein, because I went in there, and Taco Bell had Wi-Fi.
Well, you will get a chemtrail from those. When you get the trots, when you get those walking farts generated by some of that fast food, it's a wonder you don't see more chemtrails. So,
I know. Hey, Scott, I'm going to roll out of here, my friend, but you know you don't get to leave yet, right?
But Bob.
Okay, you run afoul of Ron. That wasn't on me.
Oh, I know. I kind of did that on purpose. I'm surprised that Steve didn't tell you. I became Facebook friends with one of the Steves.
Yes.
And he was wondering. I was posting about something the other day, and he said, "Well, when are you going to watch The Big Lebowski?" And I told him that I would have the review on an upcoming Friday on the front porch. And apparently he doesn't realize that I can't get in to Friday on the front porch.
That's true. Oh, I didn't get the gag. Yeah, well, Asa just observed a little bit ago. January the 18th will come and go.
Well, hell, it's only the 10th.
Yeah, you're eight days away from the prophecy. Wait a minute. The prophecy.
Well, maybe I should go
now.
Not
saying, just saying.
Well, I'll go now and fire up the DVR.
It is time. Grasshopper.
I'm going to surprise the hell out of some of these folks when I actually have a comprehensive review of the film.
We don't want a review. We just want to know you watched it. We just want you to be part of the cult with the rest of us.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. I'm getting poor network connection. So let me let you go.
You heard every word I said. All right, Scott. All right.
I caught the very tail end of it.
Yeah, okay. All right, Scott, you take care.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the chance to speak. And Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, by the way. Yes.
All right, take care.
I wonder if Punky got any corned beef and cabbage for New Year's. Or I don't know. Maybe Punky, being a seed eater, might like little bits of black-eyed peas or something. You never know with the birds. No, that's just... I got a couple of noobs. I'm so mad. I guess it's at Procter & Gamble. I am so angry with them for buying the rights to the Outfield's Your Love and changing the lyrics to being about a guy with a wrinkled shirt meeting with a bunch of Asian investors or business people or something. And when I say I'm upset, that does not even... Agnes loves that song. I love that song. Josie's on a vacation far away. That one. And I'm probably not even getting the lyrics right, but I love it. I just love that song. It's just good. Except the lyrics are probably bad and unacceptable. But using it to sell dryer sheets. They got on the fighting side of Agnes with that one. I just want you to know. So people were trying to get into the program earlier and couldn't because it's a one-line affair these days. If you want to engage in a little more conversation before the program is over, you are mighty welcome so to do. Scott engendered some emails. Kim in New Jersey. Scott mentioned that these things have a habit of self-correcting. What does Scott not get about Trump and the federal court nominees? They will effectively preclude a whole lot of our ability to self-correct much of that at the polls. And that's hard to argue with. Meanwhile... I've had a series of notes from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Steve on the Gulf Coast, formerly of China.
regarding whatever sort of idiot that was in the first hour, concerned as he was over Oprah, that would be Dave Daubenmeyer. Bob, or don't say anything, which is kind of the point of this note, to wit, you don't need to agree with this jerk's trivial and hackneyed opinions to realize that Oprah, as many of similar status, wealth, and celebrity, is fundamentally unqualified to be president unless your idea of the presidency revolves around naive notions of overcoming discrimination, eradicating poverty and misery, or making the world a healthier and happier place in which to live and prosper. But the presidency isn't about any of these things. The Congress and the Constitution's blueprint are. Celebrity, however, and the ego and adulation and fine, precious sentiment that go with it, these are duties for which the average media star with a few extra billions of dollars in the bank was born to perform. If we, the people, don't know the difference by now, fuck it, the presidency, and us, or get a real government. And let Oprah and all her close friends wear bright, high crowns and strut around in regal splendor before their adoring, unwashed fans and attend great galas for the amusement of themselves, rivulets of delicate tears sparkling before the cameras they so love to love that so love them. Petty figureheads without executive power and no privilege of consequences, orange hair, clown shoes, the works, which we kind of already have anyway, since we don't really take any of it seriously anymore. Regards, Steve on the Gulf Coast. And I'm largely in agreement because I yearn for the old idea of the president as statesman. But hell's bells, that kind of didn't that sort of go away with Ronald Reagan? Has there been one since? I mean, okay, Barack Obama. Regardless of which side of the issue you come down on, the almost the entirety of the Clinton presidency was turned into a vaudeville act, slapstick, by virtue of the said president's sexual peccadilloes, which weren't any of my business or anybody else's except, say, Mrs. Clinton and Ms. Lewinsky. That woman, Ms. Lewinsky. But what the reality became is undeniable now that it's history. Steve continues and says, with regard to the current conversation with Scott, all the crazy in the world don't mean squat when the truth has to go begging. I know. Steve continues and says, the last time anyone could retire, and this goes back to the Social Security issue that Scott raised, the last time that anyone could retire on regular 100% Social Security at age 65 was for those born in 1954. I was born in 1957, and my retirement age is 66.6. It gets worse and worse and worse. Where's that third rail? I mean, really? You see, they got away with it once, and now they just want to take all those 66.6s and the 67.0713s, and they just want to run it up to 70 as a starting point and then start pushing further past that. Because the whole idea is to not let anybody have a chance to retire on 100% Social Security. Because Republicans oppose the very idea of Social Security. And it is brutally difficult to get people for whom Social Security is something that's way, way, way out there. And, you know, they're busy, you know, they're busy being 22 and worrying about, fuck Social Security, how am I going to pay off this college debt? There's only, the human mind is only capable of compassing so much crisis. And we tend to see that which is in front of our faces as opposed to that which is in the far background. That's what that old line about not being able to see the forest for the trees is all about. So, ultimately, it's going to be easier for them to do this than I think Scott realizes. And while I'd like to side with Scott on the idea that that there's some sort of unity among the disability community or the Social Security recipient community generally, I'd like to see some proof of it. And, I mean, remember, let's see, what state is it? I saw the story the other day. Legislation being proposed that goes after the union rights of teachers, but curiously leaves the cops and the firefighters' union rights alone. They did that in Wisconsin, remember? And they were wildly successful at it. Just a reminder. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Is anyone in charge? Robert asks. I doubt anyone's in charge behind the scenes. The planet wouldn't be such a mess if someone was. On the other hand, in the film Simon, a group of high IQ types working at a secret military think tank spend all their time screwing around with the Nielsen TV, making Donnie and Marie the number one show in the U.S. when the reality was that no one watched it. So maybe someone is in charge behind the scenes. Maybe that someone isn't particularly bright. And that runs along the lines of the statement that's made in what is basically the prologue to Idiocracy, where the point is made that, well, you know, medical science had learned to put Cletus's penis back together again so that he could boldly go out and procreate to his heart's content, but it couldn't figure out a way to keep the 40-something guy with a low sperm count alive, who was, like, educated and stuff. Look at the medical news. You'll see it. And I've gotten to the point where I hate medical news because they talk about all of these advances that are coming. And where once upon a time I looked at it and thought, you know, that's going to be great when everybody can have that. But then I grew up. And I realized the point has never been for everybody to have that. The point has been for those who are deserving to have that. And deserving, well, the metric for deserving is not what you or I would like it to be. But hey, let's take our little victories where we can get them. We're still here. After the stories yesterday about the trial balloon over a limited strike against North Korea, coupled with the idea that we need to make some little nukes that Donnie can use and get away with it, I ain't taking anything for granted. By the way, note coming from Earther. But Oprah would be the best president ever. Just ask Randy Rhodes, and I usually love Randy. Governing is something that you have to work at. And it's something that takes study. And you're not a good practitioner of government just because you have successfully built a multi-billion dollar entertainment empire. That means you're good at running an entertainment empire. Apparently, Donald Trump was some kind of successful as a reality television star. This does not mean that he is a good president, as he is proving with every breath he takes. But the ultimate in that is Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the emptiest of empty suits. And yet, to this day, people who should know better will refer to him in the for-profit media as the great communicator. Really? The guy who told us that ketchup was a vegetable? That's the great communicator? Well, but he never took his jacket off in the Oval Office. Okay. But from where I stand, it's only going to get weirder. On the way out the door, just because there has been precious little coverage of it, I want to make sure that I at least make mention of it. There have been four murders in the space of 1 week in the United States. The four people murdered were four women. The four women who were murdered were four lesbians. The four lesbians who were murdered were four black lesbians. And it all happened in late December. Kalata Crowell and her daughter Kira Englet, murdered in West Palm Beach, Florida, December 28th. And Ms. Crowell is the fourth black lesbian who was to be murdered in late December, according to Auto Straddle, a progressive news and commentary site for queer women. Shanta Myers and her two children, Jeremiah and Shanice, and Myers' girlfriend, Brandy Mills. They were murdered in Troy, New York on December 26th. They were all bound. Their throats had been slashed. In Washington, D.C., December 28th, Carice Lewis was repeatedly shot, then shoved into the trunk of a car. And then the person who killed her set the car on fire. The D.C. law enforcement folks are baffled. And the families of these murdered people are begging for media coverage of their killing. Because there's been a whole lot of ho-hum about it. Sue Yakka Bible is director of communications at GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. She said, specifically with lesbians, police will often mischaracterize the relationship as a friend or roommate situation since identities are obscured in the moment. We've also found that when you're tracking this, police are often quick to say bias is not a motive in murders of LGBTQ people, and this tends to get repeated in press accounts. I would challenge the media to investigate the ways bias and hate violence may or may not be part of what has occurred and fully and fairly name identities of people who have been lost. I mentioned this at the end of the program because policy issues, like making sure that we try to make a determination as to whether or not people are killed for their sexuality. Well, the right wing doesn't like that. The right wing calls that thought crimes. You want to do something about it, you're going to have to, we're going to have a Congress willing to do something about it. A House and a Senate. And so coming back to something I said early in the program, can we generate enough unity and enough determination to get people out to vote to make a difference in 2018? It's going to have to be a tsunami. A ripple will not get the job done. And in a world where murdered black lesbians deserve to be known for who they were and why they were killed, that kind of unity becomes all the more critical. And so we find ourselves at the end of the program. And thank you, if I didn't say it earlier, thank you to Silent R. Lamar for finishing up the Chris's challenge. That's tremendous. And that means we get to start tomorrow with just an ordinary fundraising goal, which is a beautiful thing. Thank you to all of you who share in listening to this precious, to share your precious finite time to listen to this little conversation and participate in it. Thank you to everybody who's part of our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve. Hope you get well soon. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks, Ben, for restarting the White Rose Society stream this evening. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.